Hare Om Sarva Bhavatu Sarva Bhunaktu Sarveyam Karabhavahai Tejasvi Navadi Tamastu Vishvavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vaishampayana continued. Commanded by Krishna, the son of Pandu, along with his brothers, set himself upon collecting the materials for the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. That chastiser of all foes, the son of Pandu, then commanded Sahadev, that foremost of all warriors and all ministers, also, saying, "Let persons be appointed to collect, without loss of time, all those articles which the Brahmins have directed as necessary for the performance of this sacrifice, and all materials and auspicious necessities that Domya may order as required for it, each of the kind needed and one after another in due order. Let Indrasena, Bishoka, Pru, with Arjuna for his charioteer, be engaged to collect food if they are to please me. Let these foremost of the Kurus also gather every article of agreeable taste and smell that may delight and attract the hearts of the Brahmanas." And collect food means that you're going to perform a sacrifice. Sacrifice is not considered complete unless you feed the Brahmins, feed the devotees, like that. So therefore, Arjuna is being sent out to collect all these things, right? So it's never below anyone to do something else. This idea, you're a big manager, all you do is big management. But you'll notice through this whole Rajasuya endeavor that Pandus basically, and Krishna, all they do is menial service through the whole thing, right? Like that. Of course, they're managing big, huge things, but that's it. Bhima takes care of the kitchen, you know, and all the cooking and all that, serving and all that kind of a thing. Krishna takes care of the shoes, right? You know, you've got thousands and thousands of kings, you've got to keep their shoes in order. You know, and a king doesn't mean king. King means king with entourage, like that. So you're dealing with a lot of shoes there. You know, Sahadev and Nakula, they would greet them and seat them, like that. Does this make sense? This is a manager. Right? If you can only do big management and can't get into the detail, then you'll have a problem. But why are they the emperor? How much you can do the big stuff, you can do the detail. Then it matches very, very nicely. Does that make sense? Right? Always remember this. This is what makes it. Otherwise, you're just a big manager, but you're not a leader. You understand? Leaders hire big managers. Does that make sense? But leadership means you can do from the top to the bottom, right? They did a study in America on all the CEOs of all the companies there, and basically the biggest amount of them, they all started at the bottom. Right? They all started off, you know, just coming in and cleaning or serving the coffee or, you know, like that kind of stuff. And then they work themselves up through the whole company till they're sitting on the top of the pile. They know the whole company. But those guys then hire the ones that come out of Harvard School of Business Management, right? And then they come in as big managers. They stay big managers. They never, never, never become the CEO. Does that make sense? So this is the difference between someone who's just a manager and someone who's a leader, right? Doesn't mean a leadership can't be a manager also. They may not be. It doesn't matter. Right? The leader can inspire others to manage. Why does he need to manage? Right? Does that make sense? Because the point is what you can do, you can get others to do. Right? You don't like to wash pots. you will never be successful in inspiring anyone else to do it. Right? You like to wash pots, but you could do something else, and someone who can only wash pots or just do that would wash pots. Then you would do that. No? But if no one's there, you would wash the pots yourself. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the... Right. So if something food's going to be there, it attracts the hearts of the Brahmins, and it says of all the different things, then like the, you know, in worshipping these different personalities, you know, like Vishnu likes ornaments, Shiva likes, you know, Ganga water, then the sun, he likes lamps, and Brahmins like food, okay? So if you're going to... Something that attracts the hearts of the Brahmins means it's got to be good, right? Because if food is what you're into, then it's got to be nice, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, they're sending Arjuna and these other big, big Brahmins to I'll collect all the nice, nice things. Vaishampayana continued. Simultaneously with these words of King Yudhishthira the Just, Sahadev, that foremost of warriors, having accomplished everything, represented the matter to the king. Dvaipayana, O king, then appointed as sacrificial priests, exalted brahmanas were like the Vedas themselves in embodied forms. The son of Satyavati became himself the Brahma of that sacrifice, and the bull of the Dhananjaya race, Shushaman, became the chanter of the Vedic Sama hymns. Yajnavalkya, devoted to Brahma, became the Advaryu, and Pila, the son of Vasu, and Domya became the Hotris. Right? So, means here you have the when you're doing this sacrifice, looks like they're not using the Acharya here, but this is your standard full sacrifice. You have the Brahma, the Hotri, the Udgata, and the Advaryu. Right? So then the Brahma means he knows all three Vedas and knows all the rituals of everybody. The Hotri is Rigvedi. He knows how to, you know, perform the yajna itself, what mantras and how to perform the rituals that go along with the sacrifice. The Advaryu, he's the one that knows how to set everything up, what is needed, how to set it up, what is the order and everything. And the Udgata is the one who then chants the mantras. So Udgata is the Samavedi, Advaryu is the Yajurvedi, the Hotri is the Rigvedi, and the Brahma is the Trivedi. Right, so then Vyasadeva himself is the Brahma. So we see this is quite a big. All these are big. Yajnavalkya. He's also Yajnavalkya and Parasara. These were are accepted by us as their authorities in the Dharma Shastra. Right, others may say so many things, but their opinions are what we take. So they're very, very major people. O Bulla the Bharata race, the disciples and the sons of these men, all acquainted with the Vedas and the branches of the Vedas, became Hotrags. Okay. Means is that each of these, then they have their assistants. Each one has three assistants. Right? So the Advaryu sets everything up with his assistants. The Udgata, he chants with his. The Rigveda, he performs the sacrifice. But after having set up, then the Advaryu, his three assistants, they go over to the Hotri, right? Because they know all the things how to set up. So then under the Hotri's direction, now he tells them what to get and this and that. So then the three would stick specifically to the ritual and three with any arrangements for the ritual. Does that make sense? Like that. So that way then you'd end up, and the Brahma has, so that means you'd end up with another 12. So that means there'd be 16 Brahmins that would run it, unless otherwise stipulated. Some of them, like the Soma Yajna, has 90 Brahmins, like that. So then, this being Rajasuya, may have so many more, like that. And all of them, having uttered benedictions and recited the object of the sacrifice, worshipped according to the ordinance, the large sacrificial compound. Okay, so what do we have here? Uttered benediction, recited the object of the sacrifice. What is that? Said in the beginning, right? That's the sankalpa, right? Sankalpa means your determination, what you're going to do. So then they've recited this is that we're doing this yajna for this purpose, right? But it's just another way of saying the sankalpa, right? It means When we're looking at it for work getting done, we look at it from determination, sankalpa. When we're looking at it in this, then benedictions, it's auspicious. What are the purpose? In other words, we've made the place nice. What are the goal? And now we're going to establish it. Right? So then now they worship the large sacrificial compound. Right. So then they're going to have to respect everything there and create it. Commanded by the Brahmanas, builders and artificers erected numerous edifices that were spacious and well perfumed, like under the temples of the gods. Builders and artificers. So now this is where the Shudras would come in, the artisans. Under the direction of the Brahmins, they come and do that. Like when you go, I saw in Kumbh Mela, that you had these group of people, they know how to build yagyakundas and that. That's what they do. They come in with their bricks and their, you know, the things like regular brick builders. But all they do is build yagyakundas. So you simply tell them what Veda and what size, you know, and for what kind of yagya, and then they just build it. Like that. So then, you know, so this is what it's meant. It'll be these kind of persons. After these were finished, that best of kings and that bull among men, Yudhishthira, commanded his chief advisor, Sahadev, saying, dispatch thou, without loss of time, messengers endued with speed to invite all to the sacrifice. And Sahadev, hearing these words of the king, dispatched messengers telling them, invite ye all the Brahmins in the kingdom, all the owners of land, Kshatriyas, and all the Vaishyas, and also all respectable Shudras, and bring them hither. Right? So even the Shudras, the respectable ones, then, because they're leaders in the community. Right? You have to remember is that we're dealing with, basically speaking, 90% of your general population is Shudras. Right? So then, with that, then means they're going to have their leaders, you know, who then represents them, who is the leaders in their arts and their trades. You know, it's just like you're in the whatever field it is, then everybody respects the elder persons in that field. Right? Even though they may or may not be the prominent ones, but they're the respected ones. Vaishampayana continued, endued with speed, these messengers thus commanded, invited everyone according to the orders of the Pandava, without losing any time, and brought with them many persons, both friends and strangers. Then O Bharata, the Brahmins at that time, installed Yudhishthira, the son of Kunti, at the Rajasuya sacrifice. After the ceremony of installation was over, that foremost of men, the virtuous king Yudhishthira, the just, like the god Dharma himself, in human frame, entered the sacrificial compound surrounded by thousands of Brahmins, his brothers and their relatives, friends and counselors, by a large number of Kshatriya kings who had come from various countries, and by the officers of state. Numerous Brahmins well skilled in all branches of knowledge and versed in the Vedas and their several branches began to pour in from various countries. Thousands of craftsmen at the command of King Yudhishthira the Just erected for those Brahmins and their attendants separate habitations well provided with food, clothes, and the fruits and flowers of every season. O king, duly worshipped by the monarch, the Brahmanas continued to reside there, passing their time in conversation on diverse topics and beholding the performances of actors and dancers. The clamor of high-souled Brahmins, cheerfully eating and talking, was heard there without intermission. Give and eat were the words that were heard there incessantly every day. And, O Bharata, King Yudhishthira the Just gave unto each of those Brahmins thousands of kine, beds, gold coins, and damsels. Vaishampayana continued, thus commenced on earth the sacrifice of the unrivaled hero, the illustrious son of Pandu, like the sacrifice in heaven of Shakra himself. Then that bull among men, King Yudhishthira, dispatched Nakula, the son of Pandu, unto Hastinapur to bring Bhishma and Drona, Dhritarashtra, Vidura, and Kripa, and those amongst his cousins that were well disposed towards him. Right? So well disposed means here is that you're bringing like-minded persons. Right? In other words, so many kings are there, the ones that are, you know, close and well disposed. They're the ones that are close and everything like that. That's always an important thing. That when one is having some kind of a program or party, that it's like-minded people. Right? This modern idea, no, just bring everybody and this and that, that's for the common people. Then that's like a, you know, like a circus or something. So it's nice. You also do those kind of programs. But if you're doing something like this, a sacrifice, you're, you know, feeding the Brahmins, you're doing a special program, it has to be people that are of a similar nature. Otherwise, how they will interact. Does that make sense? The whole idea is the interaction, not the equality that everybody was there. That's not the point. Then what's your goal? To show equality or for everybody to find it a very comfortable time? Right? Does that make sense? Naturally, we have so many varieties of friends. But are those friends of yours friends of each other? Right? If they are, great, you invite them all together. If they're not, you invite them individually. Right? Not, oh, well, I don't want to do so many things, I'll just do one big thing, invite them all. Better you didn't invite them, anybody. Just sit at home and do whatever you like. Right? You want to have a program, then break it up. Those ones that go together, put them together. Everyone's comfortable. The idea that you want to have people over do a program is that everybody's comfortable, has a nice time. Not that you just want to show that I'm the center and I have so many friends, so I bring them all together. What's the purpose? Right? What was the purpose? Is Yudhishthira's point to feed the Brahmins or to satisfy the Brahmins?
Satisfy.
Yeah, satisfy. So in satisfying, he feeds them, he gives them charity, makes nice arrangements and entertains them. Does that make sense? That's the point. Just to feed them is not enough. That's one thing. If you're feeding the Brahmins, it means you're going to do everything else. But then sometimes it just has to be clearly stated. So it's very clear. Does that make sense? Also notice what's the thing that comes up again and again and again with the Brahmins. You know, they get cows, they got clothes, we heard, you know, about this, you know, music and dance, but what do we constantly hear that they were arranged for them?
They're always happy and laughing.
They're always happy and laughing. And what's one of the main reasons they're happy and laughing?
Food,
yes. Is that what you're gonna say? Okay. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, food can never be underestimated in a program. Right? That's why it said that the culinary arts, the art of cooking, is so important in human society. Right? That's why without training in cooking and eating and serving, how you're actually going to conduct human, you know, interaction. You know, what is it, otherwise what's it based on? You know what I'm saying? Oh, invite some friends over, and but what's it based on? Yeah, like this. So there should be something there. You can other things go along with it, but prasad is very, very important, right? Prabhupada said we're a kitchen religion, like that. Just on that one thing, everybody likes food, right? So therefore, you have a connection with everybody. They may like to stand on their head. They may like to do pranayam. They may like to do this or that, or maybe not. But everybody likes to eat. Right? So that's why it's so important. I mean, as it is now, someone's telling me is that so one cook was saying one of the major crises in the movement is there's no one hardly left that can cook good food in bulk. Like a Sunday feast or a program, there aren't anybody. Does that make sense? Well, before, there were hundreds of devotees that could do that. Does that make sense? So it's so important, this aspect. So that's why so much focus should be put into that. If that's nice, other things can be more simple. If the prasad's very nice, then, you know, who's worried about it? Okay, now we go into the Rajasuya. So now that was the preparation, right? Preparation, everything right up to Rajasuya. Right? So they arranged everything according to the direction of the Brahmins. Then having made everything, they invited everybody, took care of everybody very nicely, satisfied. And then Yudhishthira's installed as the Yajaman, right? So the Yajaman is recognized. And then now we start the Rajasuyika Parva. Section 33. Vaishampayana said, "The ever-victorious Nakula, the son of Pandu, having reached Hastinapura, formally invited Bhishma and Dhritarashtra to the sacrifice. The elder of the Kuru race, with the preceptor at their head, invited with due ceremonies, came with joyous hearts to that sacrifice, with brahmanas walking before them. O bull of the Bharata race, having heard of King Yudhishthira's sacrifice, hundreds of other kshatriyas acquainted with the nature of the sacrifice, with joyous hearts came there from various countries, desiring to behold King Yudhishthira, the son of Pandu, and his sacrificial mansion. Right, that, so his Yagyakunda was a mansion. It wasn't just a little something on the side there, because, you know, it's not Treta Yuga, so we don't get into these things. What we get into is nice computer, nice car, fancy desk, and an AC. You know, that's what's important now. But when it comes to a Yagya, then we as temple presidents and leaders, we wouldn't know anything about this, because what's the importance anyway? If it doesn't make money, who cares? Okay. Right, it says here, the Kshatriya is acquainted with the nature of the sacrifice. Means their leaders, they know it. Right? A Brahmin does patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, pratigraha. Right? He knows how to sacrifice. He knows, you know, it means, in other words, he knows how to do deity worship. Means technically. He knows the Shastras, and he knows charity. Right? He knows these three. Now, but the difference is Brahmins will do puja for others, do yajna for others, teach others, and accept charity. But the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas won't. Otherwise, how can you be a leader and have a deity department and have festivals, which is a major part of Krishna consciousness, and not know anything about them? How would you inspire, how would you have qualified Brahmins and qualified leaders that are going to do a great job at this if you don't know anything about it? Right? Or at least you have to know enough that you have to support them like Yudhishthira, take care and provide the facility. Otherwise, then what's going to happen? Does that make sense? It's such a major part of Krishna consciousness. You know, all these different rituals, food and rituals. And you don't know how to cook, you don't know how to eat, you don't know how to serve, you don't know the rituals. What are you going to do other than make money? Right? Is that the success of the Hare Krishna temple? Is it makes money? I mean, it is. But I'm just saying, is that the reality? Is that what Prabhupada envisioned? He wanted it to be opulent, but along with these other things. Yudhishthira knows all these things, and he's opulent. But to have money and not know all these things, then who has money but doesn't necessarily worry about Shastra and these other things, protecting the devotees? What varna do we call that? Sure. Vaishyas. Nothing wrong with Vaishyas, but how is that the leader if it's not knowing all these things, right? Nanda Baba, he was a king amongst Vaishyas. But in his kingdom there, you know, in Braj, he has Brahmins who are doing sacrifices, always Brahmins at the house, he's taking care of them, he's doing all these different things. Right? Does that make sense? You know, something happens, Krishna's born, big sacrifice, everything is there, he's calling in Gargacharya, he's getting his advice. That's king of the Vaishyas. If he only knows business, that's just a Vaishya. The king of the Vaishyas means he knows the Brahminical culture. Otherwise, how is he king? Does that make sense? Very, very important to be able to distinguish these things. Otherwise, all we have is sentiment, and sentiment is good, important, but if it's only sentiment, it's not enough. There has to be a basis to the sentiment, otherwise what's the meaning? Right? Like someone sitting over the corner and, you know, crying and then later laughing, and, oh wow, what's going on? Oh, I don't know, I just crying, you know, just start laughing. What are you laughing about? I don't know. Then what would you say? Crazy, right? So therefore, if it's only sentiment and it doesn't have Shastric basis, then what is it? Crazy. If it's with Shastric basis, that's a nice person. Right? Balance. They know the Shastra, they're human. Right? If they only know the Shastra, they're not human, not so good. Does that make sense? So if you just know Shastra, you only know sentiment, these are problem. You know both, that's reality. Does that make sense? That's the Vedic culture. Like that. Okay. Kshatriyas acquainted with the nature of the sacrifice, with joyous hearts, came there from various countries, desiring to behold King Yudhishthira, the son of Pandu, and his sacrificial mansion, bringing with them many costly jewels of various kinds. Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, and Vidura, of high intelligence, all Kaurava brothers with Duryodhana at their head, Suvala, the king of Gandhar, and Shakuni, endued with great strength, Achala, Vrishaka, and Kama, that foremost of all charioteers, Shalya, endued with great might and strong Vahlika, right? Who was Vahlika? Do you remember? He was one of the great-grandfathers, because like in Gita it says this, you know, sons, brothers, fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, right? Because he's a great-grandfather. He has a well-known brother. Do you remember?
Shantanu.
Shantanu, right? So he's even, you know, Bhishma's grandfather, this guy. You know, so it's... no, not grandfather, uncle. His uncle. Like that. So it puts him, you know, a grandfather Bhishma, so this is his uncle. So Somadatta, Budhi of the Kudu race, and Bodhisattvas, and Shala, Ashwatthama, Kripa, Drona, and Jayadratha, the ruler of Sindh. Yajnasena with his sons, Shalya, that lord of earth, and that great car warrior, King Bhagadatta of Pragjoshi, Joshisha. So, and then here we got, what do you call it? Sindh, where is that?
Punjab.
It's below Punjab. It's over, it's, if you keep going from Punjab, going west, then you get Sindh. And then if you keep going farther than that, then, which is the next kingdom. We mentioned Suvalya and Shakuni.
And Gandhar.
Gandhar, right? So that's Afghanistan. Right, so you got Afghanistan, then you have, you know, over there. Now it's in Pakistan, but that was just farther, just after Punjab. So then, you know, all the way from there, then they're coming. And the great car warrior, King Bhagadatta of Pragjoshi, Jyotisha, accompanied by all Malecha tribes inhabiting the marshy regions on the seashore, many mountain kings and King Vrihadvala, Vasudeva, the king of the Pandryas, and kings of Vanga and Kalinga, right? Vanga is Bengal, Kalinga is Orissa, Akashta, Kuntala, and kings of the Malavas and the Andhrakas, okay, now we're getting down south, the Dravidas, right, so that'll be your Tamil Nadu, the Sinhalas, now where is that? That's what we call Sri Lanka, but it's not the Lanka that what Ravana was sitting on, because that's 800 miles south into the ocean. Well, that one, you know, it's like, it's just right next door. And the king of Kashmir, King Kuntibhoja of great energy, and King Gauravahana, and all the other heroic kings of Vahlika. Virata with his two sons, and Mavela endued with great might. Various kings and princes ruling in various countries, and Obharata, King Shishupal, endued with great energy and invincible in battle, accompanied by his son, all of them came to the sacrifice of the son of Pandu, Rama and Aniruddha, Kanaka and Sharana, Gada, Prajumna, Shamva, and Charudeshna of great energy. So where are they all from now? Dwarka, right. So these are all there. So when they say Rama, they mean?
Balaram.
Balaram. Ulmuka, Nishata, and the brave Anga Vaha, and numerous other Rishnis, almighty car warriors, came there. These and many other kings from the middle country came, O monarch, to that great Rajasuya sacrifice of the son of Pandu. O king, at the command of King Yudhishthira the Just, mansions were assigned to all those monarchs that were full of various kinds of edibles and adorned with tanks and tall trees, right? So the Kshatriyas, so they had to have tanks there, right? You know, so, is that what it means? Okay, tanks and tall trees. That means they had pukurs and nice gardens like that. So they would have had you know, in other words, all the forest area and that around the place, they would have built all these mansions, and everybody has their own pukurs and own gardens and everything like that, and mansions. So this would have all been made. But, the son of Dharma worshipped all those illustrious monarchs as they deserved. Worshipped by the king, they retired to mansions that were assigned to them. Those mansions were white and high like the cliffs of Kailash, and delightful to behold, being furnished with every kind of furniture. They were enclosed on all sides with well-built and high whitewashed walls. Their windows were covered with networks of gold, and the interiors were furnished with rows of pearls. Okay, networks of gold, right? Like, it wasn't, not lead, right? Modern thing, a fancy window, they take lead and make it into what they call canes, and then you have grooves in it, you stick the glass in, you make various patterns, you put it all together, and you solder it together with lead, and that's considered, you know, a really fancy window. So here the networks are done in gold, like that. And then the interiors are all done in pearls. The flights of stairs were easy of ascent, and the floors were all laid over with costly carpets. Right, easy of ascent means not too steep. Right, so it'd be, you know, pleasant, and then landings, and you know, like this, it would go next. Right? And then costly carpets, right? So then they would put carpets, not wall to wall, right? They just put them, you know, you put a carpet where you need it. They were hung all over with garlands of flowers and perfumed with excellent aloes. White as snow or the moon, they looked extremely handsome even from the distance of a yojana. Right? From 8 miles you could see them. Their doors and entrances were set uniformly and were wide enough to admit a crowd of persons. Adorned with various costly articles and built with various metals, they looked like peaks of the Himavat. Having rested a while in those mansions, the monarchs beheld King Yudhishthira the Just, surrounded by numerous sadasyas, sacrificial priests, ever performing sacrifices, distinguished by large gifts to brahmanas. That sacrificial mansion, where kings, brahmanas, and great rishis were present, looked, O king, as handsome as heaven itself, crowned with the gods. So this is just what he made for individual arrangements for each of these great monarchs. So you can imagine how much money was being spent here, right? Section 34. Vaishampayana said, "Then, O king, Yudhishthira, having approached and worshipped his grandfather and his preceptor, addressed Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and the son of Drona, Duryodhana and Vivingsati, and said, 'Help ye all in the matter of this sacrifice. This large treasure that is here is thine. Consult ye with one another and guide me as ye desire.'" Right? In other words, he's giving them positions, right? So it means they're working under him. But at the same time as they taking the positions, they have to make the decisions management. Therefore, then they have facility and they're giving advice to him as to what should be done. That makes sense? In other words, the person who's actually doing it has to be very much considered in the decision making. Right? In other words, they're the one that has to carry it out. But of course, you have to authorize it, you have to take the responsibility. But the point is they're the ones that are doing it. Right? That's why these people even will work for Yudhishthira. Right? Does that make sense? You know, here is grandfather Bhishma, Drona, Kripa. These are all senior persons, right? But they will work for him because he's giving the facility and taking their direction. Does that make sense? So this thing of you're in charge, it doesn't mean that others can't be senior to you and still work with you. Right? The great sages from the from Satyaloka and all that, they work with Indra, even though Indra is technically junior to them. But he's in the position of king of the universe. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then like this, it's this balance, this is the kind of thing, this is what makes human life special. Right? Animal life is just you have one guy on top and it just goes down and that's it. There's no interact. You can't deal with someone senior to you, though he's acting as junior, and you're still dealing with him as he's senior, but he's taking a junior role. You don't have this in animal life. Does that make sense? So we have to be able to distinguish between the animal forms of administration and the human forms. Right? Because there's more rasa. Right? The idea is the human life, the rasa is increased, and the scope for connecting that rasa to Krishna. Well, the animals, it'll be, you know, they'll have their specific rasa, and it's just for staying in the material world. It works good. Bee colonies, ant colonies, all they work quite nicely. But at the same time, that's all they do. Vaishampayana continued, the eldest of the sons of Pandu, who having been installed at the sacrifice, having said this unto all, appointed every one of them to suitable offices. Right? Suitable offices, right? According to what they can do, not sentimental offices. Oh, he's a Prabhupada disciple, so he should be the temple president, though he can't manage himself his way out of a wet paper bag. You know, and a junior devotee is a good manager, but he's junior, you know, that wouldn't be proper. No, it doesn't work like that. Guna karma, right? The one is a senior devotee, he should remain a senior devotee. That's what he does best. Managing, that's another thing that you give to a manager. Does that make sense? So what everybody, Bhima likes to eat. He's a good cook. So we should put him in charge of something else? No. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. What someone's good at, that's what they do. Sentiment doesn't matter. Does that make sense? It can be considered like that in the dealings, but ultimately it's not just because I want to. It's because you're qualified to. You should be doing it. Does that make sense? That's the position. Like that. Just because someone wants, everybody wants so many things. Do we allow it to happen? Like that. And what's the basis of sentiment? Generally is one's own pleasure. Right? Means many of you, you'll sit there for an abhishek, right? On the, you know, sit down in the audience, and on the stage is a big abhishek. Do you really think it really looks nice that there's 50 devotees up there in brahmacharis trying to get in and bathe and do anything that they can get their hands on because they have the sentiment that they want to? Does it look nice? Does it look good? Does it inspire you that, wow, this is a happening abhishek? No. Why? Because it's just their sentiment. And what has it got to do with? The deity? No, them. Right? The deity gives mercy how he likes to give mercy. Not that you've decided how you're going to get the mercy. Does that make sense? So this is the whole idea here, is that people, according to what they're qualified for, that's what they do. Then it makes it nice. Right? Everybody would like to go, you know, I've had it at sacrifices. After the yajna, you're doing it for some Indian family. And then they go, oh, you know, whatever it is, you know, the boy, he would like to put something in the fire, you know, can you give him something? It's kind of like, he puts it in the fire, you lose all the benefit of the whole thing, so why would you want to do that? No, but he likes, you know. And then you're supposed to buy that. You know? So when it comes to deity worship, yajnas, management, all these different things, positions, basically, that's the only tone of voice I ever hear. You know? Oh, they would like to be kind to them, be merciful to them. But is that mercy? Doing something that won't be good for you, is that mercy? You know what I'm saying? Okay, he's appointed everyone to suitable offices. Now here's offices. He appointed Dushasana to superintend the department of food and other enjoyable articles. Ashwatthamana was asked to attend on the brahmanas. Sanjaya was appointed to offer return worship unto the kings. Right? It means, in other words, they're going to come and respect, so then they're respected back. Bhishma and Drona, both endued with great intelligence, were appointed to see that what was done and what was left undone. Right? In other words, you have so many things that got done, so what is done and what has to be done? So therefore, as pointed out, the great intelligence and most mature, that they would see that everything is there. Otherwise, the tendency is when you're doing big management, just do the big things and details are left out, and that's what annoys everybody, or the detail. You know, it's just like, you know, big bad guy, I went to one program, right? Big, you know, how you say, compound, and they give you a big flat. You're all alone in this big, huge flat. But a minor detail that they didn't notice, that there was no water in the flat. So how do you take bath? You know, how do you do a yajna for somebody when you can't take bath? Minor detail, but hey, you know. Or the food, you know, they got their hired servants, they cook, but they don't know, you know, what it is. You say vegetarian, they put onions, garlic. You got to tell them no onion, garlic. You know, you got to wait around, or, you know, they're busy, they're, you know, so many things. So everything's so nice and big and, or you know, arranged, but the detail wasn't. It was one of the worst sacrifices I went to. And this guy is one of the richest guys in India. Like that. Huge guy. And the king appointed Kripa to look after the diamonds, gold, pearls, and gems. And as also after the distribution of gifts to brahmanas. In other words, he's supposed to look after what comes in and the giving of the same to the brahmanas. Also, other tigers among men were appointed to similar offices. Vahlika, Dhritarashtra, Somadatta, and Jayadratha, brought thither by Nakula, went about, enjoying themselves as lord of the sacrifice. That's all they had to do, right? What's my service? You're lord of the sacrifice. Just move about, enjoy yourself, yes. Vidura, otherwise called Kshata. Why is he called Kshata? Yeah. Son of the Shudra. Conversant with every rule of morality, became the disperser. Duryodhana became the receiver of the tributes that were brought by the kings. Right? This is going to create problem later. Krishna, who was himself the center of all worlds and round whom moved every creature, desirous of acquiring excellent fruits, was engaged at his own will in washing the feet of the brahmanas. Right? Okay, everything moves around him, but he wants to get the blessings of the Brahmanas. Okay, so all the money was then distributed by Vidura. Vaishampayana continued, desirous of beholding that sacrificial mansion, as also King Yudhishthira the just, none came there with tribute less than 1,000 in number, weight, or measure. Right? In some way it was 1,000, right? 1,000 kilos of gold, or 1,000 chariots or elephants, or what is it? Number of weight or measure, yeah. Everyone honored the king Yudhishthira the just with large presents of jewels. Each of the kings made a present of his wealth, flattering himself with the proud belief that the jewels he gave would enable the Kuru king Yudhishthira to complete his sacrifice. Right? They gave so much that each king thought, because of what I gave, the sacrifice is going on. Right? Like that. Means point is that they could flatter themselves. So it means it was, you know, very much, you know. And this is kings that were acquainted with the sacrifice. Like that. O monarch, the sacrificial compound of the illustrious son of Kunti looked extremely handsome, with a multitude of palaces built so as to last forever, and crowded with guards and warriors. These were so high that their tops touched the cars of the gods that came to behold that sacrifice. Also with the cars themselves of the celestials, with the dwellings of the Brahmins and the mansions made there for the kings, resembling the cars of the celestials, adorned with gems and filled with every kind of wealth, and lastly with crowds of the kings that came there, all endued with beauty and wealth. Yudhishthira, as though vying with Varuna himself in wealth, commenced the sacrifice of Rajasuya. Why Varuna would be so wealthy?
The wealth of the kings.
Huh?
He has all the wealth of the kings.
He has all the wealth of the kings, but there would be one other. Yeah, the ocean is source of so much, you know, wealth and all that. So naturally, he holds sway over all the kings, and he's the lord of the ocean. So therefore, so much wealth would be there. The demons take shelter of him. So a lot happens there. So Yudhishthira, as though vying with Varuna himself in wealth, commenced the sacrifice of Rajasuya, distinguished by six fires and large gifts to Brahmins. Okay, distinguished by six fires, right? Generally you have, you know, one or three or five. This one has six, right? So it's got a special. Distinguished by six fires and large gifts to Brahmanas. Right? Means if it's not large gifts, don't even bother with this one. The king gratified everybody with presents of great value, and indeed with every kind of object that one could desire. With abundance of rice and every kind of food, as also with a mass of jewels brought as tribute, that vast concourse consisted of persons, every one of whom was fed to the full. The gods also were gratified at the sacrifice by the Ida, clarified butter, homa, and libations, poured by the great rishis versed in mantras and pronunciation. Right, so why mantras and pronunciation?
Right.
Yeah, if it's not pronounced right, then you get some other result. Like the gods, the Brahmanas also were gratified with the sacrificial gifts, food, and great wealth. All the orders of men were so gratified at that sacrifice, and all the other orders of men were also gratified at that sacrifice and filled with joy. Okay, so and here. So now we start with the Argya Harana Parva. So this will be now where they perform the Argya, you know, because they have to establish who is the most respectable person at the sacrifice and worship him. So this will start all kinds of fun. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki, Jai Nityānanda Gaura Prema Nandini.